Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and blind that our quiet comes in able. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
There was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this grain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Your life, it it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going, we better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going, we better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going, we better stop.
It's extremely ordered directly by the public health officer. The Federal Ministry of Health can order by statutory order that threatened sections of the population have to take part in protective vaccinations or other measures of specific prophylaxis, whereby the right to physical integrity can be restricted. I would suggest to go back and read this passage several times until it sinks in, but yes, in 2013, the German government was already drafting scenarios that envisioned mandatory vaccinations or specific prophylaxis in the event of a spreading communicable disease, and oh yeah, restrictions on the right of personal freedom and freedom of assembly, which is particularly convenient in a period where, as I've had cause to note in recent times, this is a period in which a lot of protests happening all around the globe, all at the same time, and the globalists are on the run, right? What could they possibly do to avoid the big people's uprising that's coming? Oh, that's right, a nationally, globally declared public health emergency that will restrict freedom of assembly and freedom of travel, freedom to gather in groups of more than 10 people in country after country. Bye-bye yellow vests. I guess it was fun while it lasted, huh? Bye-bye Hong Kong and everywhere else. I mean, everywhere else that has any sort of protest movement. Not anymore. No one is going to be out assembling in protest of this. And if they do, well, medical martial law is already in place. That was laid out in a document in 2013 by the German government. Fast forward in the timeline to 2015. That is when the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation enters the picture in a big way, because that is specifically when Bill Gates set his sights on the pandemic panic. And we get this from basically a public relations campaign that he started engaging in that time frame, including a Vox.com video where Ezra Klein interviews Bill Gates about what he is most afraid of, and spoiler alert, he's most afraid of a globalist.
Anywhere that you're watching this, almost anywhere,
you're always watching on the side of the face.
So what happens is, and I've seen it happen in the United States, it started in my generation, the post-World War II generation, which grew up with unprecedented...
So, I guess we're welcome to the quarantined, unashamed command center.
Lockdown.
We are in some strange days, boys. This is a... You're looking like a genius now. Yeah, and so am I. People used to call me a germaphobe when I wanted to shake people's hands, and now they're like, boy, that guy was a genius before. But now even your fist bump is out. You know, you get this no hand to hand. So it's
more and more, they're vindicating me by saying...
But we got to add some humor into our daily lives, because, I mean, we're going to go crazy if we don't. Right? You agree? We'll go crazy if we don't. Okay. So let me play this for you. Check this out. Thank you.
pandemic like the 1918 Spanish flu, and at the time he was also writing an op-ed in the New England Journal of Medicine about the Ebola scare of 2014. Remember that? The Ebola scare? You're going to die of Ebola? I don't think many Americans did die of Ebola, but it was the big pandemic scare of 2014, which I covered extensively at the time. We're getting back to my work on that topic at this time. But in the wake of that, in April of 2015, Bill Gates wrote an op-ed, essentially, in the New England Journal of Medicine called The Next Epidemic, Lessons from Ebola, which was part of this.
In the afterlife, or after the Messiah comes, or something.
Relations campaign that he was on at the time. That article includes a very telling paragraph. He's instructed to compare our preparations for epidemics with our preparations for another sort of global threat, war. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, has a plan if it is ready to deploy. The system is not perfect. NATO countries participate in joint exercises. They work out logistics, such as how fuel will be provided, what lines and what radio frequency.
I'm just amazed at the statement.
Is there some time?
I don't mind if you have cell phones, because the only way people are hearing us right now.
Who is a complete lockdown in the state of going by about, I would say, 8,000 a day.
But I woke up and I'm like, you know what, I have to see you. That's not poker. Dishing it out. This one's $1,000. I'm all in. I'm not lost. I don't know if you saw the card there, if you're not afraid. But
measures are in place for response to an epidemic. The OSHA does not fund any organization to manage the onset of coordinated activities required in an epidemic. The last simulation of an epidemic in the United States, the dark winter exercise, took place in 2006. Few countries have met their commitments under the international health regulations which were adopted by the United Nations after the 2002-2003 outbreak of the severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS, and were
who are so angry and jaded. Oh, that's another thing, jaded. I'll get to that in a moment. But they're so unhappy that they have to make up problems like, oh, I am a woman in let's say America and I'm oppressed. I mean, college students, female college students, get up to the microphone when I speak in colleges, and they will say that to me, because I always invite people who differ with me to ask the first questions.
listening to the Nightly Roundtable at www.shazoozradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. As well as if you scroll down, if you're on the Super Chat chat page, if you scroll down, there's a link. It says People for People Radio Network. Click on there and go over and hang out with them. You can have all the chat rooms open at the same time and be able to talk to a lot of people at once. Information overload. Everything is true.
the power of passion, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future, the future. What we do today will define the world that they live in today. Let us, from every nation, come together and make the future a great one. What is the dream? A dream is a dream of brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pill at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, depression, financial slavery, death, and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, a question has to be asked: why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation, a truth, freedom, and justice comes from all the people, and that never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then eliminate them in 3 weeks. There is no reason to start new babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating the humanity of man. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about the literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the power. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future, the future. What we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears
believed.
drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some to
between myself and your truth. These cursed memories forever seeping through.
love and sleep and tight are rolling by like thunder now as I look in your eyes. I hold on to your body and feel each move you make. Your voice is warm and tender, a love that I could not forsake. 'Cause I'm that I'll answer when I'm with you. Even though there may be times it seems I'm far away, never wonder where I am, 'cause I
like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
Thank you.
faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Thank you.
like many of you, I'm on information overload. I started off this show today a little bit confusing. Trying to reach out there to everybody and share as much love as humanly possible. Folks are listening to the Knights of the Round Table. That music is playing in the background right here. I'm going to shut it off here in a minute. But when I heard this peaceful music, it's like, it's calming. It's time to, some people need to kind of like step back and catch their breath. That's what I've been trying to do since we started the show today. Watch the things that go on around this world. If you got any kind of heart, it's hard to sit idly by and watch all this. My wife was crying and angry and upset because she didn't know if she'd ever get to see her mother again. Because of all this craziness going on. But I thought listening to all the different stories out there and all the different takes on everything that's going on, I thought I needed to try to do something different today to start off the Knights of the Round Table, to try to bring some peace, hope, and love to the world. I'm not God, not no savior. I don't consider myself to be a prophet. Just a man who paid attention in the school life. Wrote a message in the chat room. I said, today I pour my heart and soul out to the world. In hopes that love will shine the light. I don't have the answers. I don't know if my wife will ever see her mom again. I don't know if I'll ever see mine. All I can do is maintain hope. Which is hard to do in a world like this. Those folks that do what they do have no regard for what really matters in this world. I also, in the information overload in the title there, I said everything is true. Because it seems like whatever you believe, that is your reality. Some folks, unfortunately, have a distorted one. I'm going to stop this beautiful music now, because I'm not here alone, thank God. But I hope that if you got an opportunity to listen into this first half of today's show, I hope it gives you some sort of sense. What I'm trying to say to people. I'm not a doom and gloomer. I just don't like to see what's going on. I don't like to see people suffer. When my wife was upset yesterday, I just could not console her. I could not find the right words. didn't know. All I could do is hold her in my arms. Yeah, we love one another. That's what's going to get us through the mess. Hi, Barbara. How you doing?
Hey. I'm okay. I could hardly hear what you were saying, unfortunately, but I get a sense that... I get a sense your heart is... You call it your heart is on a sleeve. So, I heard some words like hoping that love would overrule all this and people would come together and this is an extraordinary time we have come to, right? And even though we've talked about this coming and certainly prophecies have spoken of something similar or something coming that will be a big challenge, we've talked about the spiritual challenge for so long that we have been in a spiritual challenge, and I think we've reached the peak spiritual challenge in this timeline, and I think people are really being tested. It's a big challenge, but the test to me is right here in our face right now. And looking at all that what is unfolding throughout the world, it's pretty stunning and hard to just stay steady and calm and, you know, hold on to that hope and don't let doubt and fear overtake you. And we are aware of the media spin, which I think is deliberately working to terrify everyone. And I'm not saying it's nothing we should be concerned about, but they're not helping. They're not helping in any way, you know. The blame game is on no matter what or who or where or how this occurred. Time is now that we stop all this nonsense and this blame game and this fear porn and come together. You know, this is, to me, is that test. Are we as human going to come together and pull together, pray together, be strong, reach out and help each other, or are we going to stand on the side and point fingers and blame and scream and have hissy fits? And this is like that moment, like when the ship is going down. I was telling my grandchildren this morning, I said, if the ship is going down and it takes everybody on that ship, all hands on deck, in order to survive, and if there's a few people that are have been snarky about the captain, don't like the captain, hate the captain, don't whatever, and in the moment when the ship is going down and everybody needs to pull together, who's going to stand there and start screaming at the captain, it's your fault, you're to blame, we're all going to die? Or are you going to step together and come into unity and pull together so you can all survive in a good way? You can all bring something different here. This is what is happening right in this moment. I just see that.
Yep. It's definitely some trying times. I didn't start off to get all emotional this morning. It's just that, you know, as I'm listening to things for show prep and, you know, what's going on out there in the world, I turned on a whole bunch of different newscasts, different things, links that people had shared with me. I turned them all on simultaneously, and so I'm listening to all, probably about four or five separate YouTube videos all at one time. And I got to thinking, this is what is going through the minds of the world, of all the people out there that are out there trying to struggle to find out what's going on. And literally, I'm under the impression that the entire world's on information overload.
I think so. I think when this happens, to me, for me anyway, when it gets to be too much, when it gets to be on overload, when you get to be feel like you're spinning and there's a lot of confusion and you start dropping, you know, you start falling down, to me, that's the time I need to go outside. I step outside. I step away from everything. I shut down everything. And I go outside, you know, and I find peace out there. You know, I find that eventual washing over me comes a peaceful sense and an awareness of something far greater and more sacred and beautiful. I think we have to do this more so now. We have to step away from all this fear porn and hysteria and confusing information. One person says one thing, another person says another. Somebody's selling silver or whatever, hand wash, because it's going to cure the coronavirus. People are helping, though. I've seen amazing things happen here. We have to focus on that. You know, you see the videos of people in Italy on their balconies because they're all now quarantined in houses and so on, and they're singing to each other. There's opera singers out there. There's musicians playing violins, and the people are singing together. You see across the board people reaching out. The Indian people, our native people, are... there's something called the jingle dance, a jingle dress dance, and that came about through a vision a man had in dream. His wife was very ill, or his daughter, I can't recall exactly, and he had a vision given to him by Creator that this dress with the jingles on, it's like little silver tubes, the whole dress is filled with them. And he said if the daughters, if the grandchildren, the women, danced with these jingle dresses, it would heal. It would heal his daughter from illness. And that was the first way that the jingle dress dancers came to be. And that his daughter was healed. And now all over the country here, we see videos being put up by young women and girls and even men out there dancing for healing for the whole world. We see elders coming together and people coming together singing and drumming and ceremonies, prayers. You know, we see this happening. We see people offering herbal medicines, ancient wisdom of the people. Even the Chinese people have their ancient medicines that they're now returning to, right? This is like pretty extraordinary. I think something good, Chaz, I do believe there's always something good. There's a gift in every experience, no matter how difficult, no matter how tragic it is. There is a gift. We have to look for that gift together. The gift is ever present, no matter what we are dealing with. There is always the message from Great Spirit that is the gift. So the people are seeing things and coming together, speaking together, sharing, sending out prayers. There's prayer vigils. Monday, by the way, is going to be a prayer vigil. That's tomorrow, a worldwide prayer vigil. So if you want to participate in that, wherever you are, you know, sit down or light a candle or go outside, whatever your practice is, and be in prayer for the healing and balance and harmony of the whole of the world. So this is happening across the world. Literally thousands and thousands of people, probably millions now, are going to take part in this prayer vigil tomorrow.
It's amazing.
We just saw the biggest grouping of evangelicals in the world's history in Brazil. We're over 3
That's
million.
That's right. That's
over
right.
3 million evangelical Christians gathered on the streets of Brazil.
Right.
Not a word of any mainstream media anywhere in the world.
Yeah, right.
Of course, talked about this because it is so far away from what they want to portray right now to the human race, the spiritual battle we see right now, this chaos in our society. Well, you know, we've been talking about this for 5, 6, 7 years now. We knew that this time was coming. We've been talking about it. We've been telling each other and telling people that they have to prepare for this particular time because it is now here. Whether this is the big gelada, I don't know. Whether this is just another test for the human race, I don't know. But it has the earmarks of being a very, very life-changing event.
Well, period. I don't know whether it's the big enchilada either, as you say, but I can tell you this, that when I went to bed last night and I had many dreams through the night, I woke up this morning knowing that I wasn't in the same world that I went to sleep in. Something has changed. Something big.
Well, this is prophecy unfolding on many levels. The world is changing, and it was meant to change. We speak about the fifth world, 1,000 years of peace. This is that timeline of leaving the fourth world of chaos. So we see chaos right now like we've never seen it before. That was prophetic, given to me and others too. Now you can choose to stay in the world, the fourth world of chaos, which is filled with the fear porn and terror and blame, or you can step on the other side of that and come into peace and love and compassion, which is the fifth world. It's a different frequency. This is what it's all about, is the energy and frequency that we emanate when we talk, when we speak, what we believe. If you believe that this is the doom and gloom end times, and that somebody's to blame, and you're pointing fingers, and you're spewing out hate, or you're hoarding toilet paper, or you're angry, or you're raging, or you're doubting, or whatever it is, you're in the fourth world of chaos. You remain there. It's in your hands. This is, to me, an awesome moment of opportunity for all of humanity to choose either to stay in that fourth world of chaos and feed that energy, feed that darkness, feed that hate, or step away from that and come into the light, come into goodness and harmony and balance and kind words and goodness and support. You know, this is one of those moments where the event knocks everybody down, and you either step out and you help your neighbor who's down too, who you're down, you help each other together, or you turn your back.
Well, we are in a timeline right now, Barb, and I agree with you, but the timeline I'm following, it tells me in very, very clear detail that we are going to see some chaos before good times hit this planet again.
Well,
and
we are
I have
in
to go
chaos.
By that timeline. I understand, you know, I understand where your heart is, and I understand where Shaziz's heart is. There's a lot of really good people right now in this planet that are hurting, that see this unfolding, are in fear for our fellow human beings, realizing that millions of them are going to suffer. Millions are going to be led astray. And we see that. We also see one of the largest movements of evangelical Christians ever experienced on the planet today. The rise of Christianity is talking about in the Bible in multiple verses about this particular time, the battle that we are seeing between the devil and God. And that's what's happening on our planet right now. Your choice is where you want to stand, what you stand for in your life, and what you believe. Me, I have to go by his timeline. I know that bad times are coming, but I'm preparing myself mentally and spiritually for that time, because I know there's going to be a time come that either I'm going to go on my knees, or I'm going to stand and die, or pass away. I know that time is coming. Undeniable in my brain right now is coming. So me saying that, you know, the only thing I can tell people is that you've got to connect spiritually. Whatever that spiritual connection you have in your life, you've got to connect to that, because when chaos really unfolds, which we see it happening now, people are going to be in a state they've never experienced in their life. If the government's going to play on that, they're preparing for it. We are in crazy, crazy times right now. Like I said, I don't know if this is the big event that we've all been talking about, but it has the earmarks. It goes very, very, almost undeniable correlation with biblical prophecies that I'm reading right now about this particular time, all the events that he's going to show us, telling us that this is that time, that there's no denying that this is that time in history. We're going to have to stand on one side of the fence or the other. I know where I stand. Anyways, that's what I got to say. She says, Barb, go ahead.
Well, we're on the same page. You know, I've been saying for years, I started saying this. I said, I know I'm going to sound like a preacher. I never thought I'd become a preacher, but I would start saying, get right with your Creator, build your spiritual foundation now, because you're going to need it. That is the only thing that's going to get you through. Whatever happens, that will get you through. We don't know the final, again, that's in Creator's hands. Like we keep saying, we don't know if this is the final bomb. We don't know if this is the final downfall of all humanity. I think this is, we've reached a peak test like we've never experienced before in our timeline, in our lives. We've read about the, you know, the Spanish flu where 60 million to 90 million people died. We've seen various other circumstances. We here today are meeting something along those lines, and I do believe it is that, again, it is a spiritual test. You can't look at it any other way. It's not about believing. It's not about believing in science. It's not about hoarding toilet paper. It's not about hoarding guns. People are buying guns left and right. This is about your spiritual connectedness. Whatever your belief is, this is what is going to be the big test here. The spiritual battle between evil and great spirit. You use the term God. It's the same thing. Now, it's not just the evangelists who are coming together. We have to remember everyone who's coming together. I'm not an evangelist. I've done prayer ceremonies with people recently. There are people, like I said, putting out that there's a prayer vigil coming up Monday. It's not specific to any religion. This is people, all kinds of people. The Indian people are coming together. They're doing their ceremonies. You have different types of people. They may not even have a religion. They're coming into prayer. I'm not identifying that this is an evangelical force or this is a Catholic or a Christian. This is the people. We, the people, are coming together, and we see it across the board. And that, to me, is pretty awesome. Is that what Creator God is looking for? Is this what is why this is happening? Is this a final test? Is this one test till we get to the final? Whatever, I don't know. Right? I mean,
we don't have those answers, Barbara.
We don't have those answers, but we know this is a serious moment in humanity's time, and boy, it's awesome. It's mind blowing. It's awesome, and it's, to me, I feel it's an opportunity. I look at this. Don't you?
I agree, Barbara, because I'm seeing people now absolutely just open right up to me. People for years have been calling me the conspiracy nut in this town, because I told them and been telling people for years that there's going to come a trigger event where society's going to be locked down. And what do we see right now in front of our eyes? I'm not saying I told you so. I've just been telling people that for years, and now they're coming up to me and going, what's going to happen next? And I've had people ask me that, because I've been correct on my predictions, and all these years they've been laughing at me and calling me a conspiracy nut. Where's your tinfoil hat, Barry? Well, they're not laughing anymore. I'm just making sure and asking people to try and prepare themselves. You've got to make sure you got some food put away, because we can see a crisis in food production. We can see all kinds of things unfold on us that are really going to affect it. If you prepare for it a little bit, you'll stem the effect of the chaos. Duke Willis wants to join us, guys. Can we pull him in?
Sure.
The same people who put smallpox in blankets to supposedly be helpful to people are the same people involved in the situation that's unfolding in our world today. These folks, they don't look at life with such regard as you and I, the average person, look at the value of each and every individual out there. They don't look at life like that. They have their plan, and their plan doesn't match with what we are actually trying to accomplish in the things that we do and say.
I agree. It's hard for us to even comprehend how these people think, because they don't have a heart. They don't have a soul. Life means nothing to them. It means like a speck of dirt on the ground, or an ant that they step on. That's the value they put on human life. It's really hard for us to try and think like that, or even comprehend how people can think like that. I see an animal get hurt, I start to shed tears. I see a human being get hurt, I start to shed tears. I think that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be able to feel for our fellow human beings and share this emotion that people don't want to share anymore, because it's not politically correct.
Barry, I've cried more in the last...
Oh, man, I shed tears. I walk into grocery stores, she says, honest to God, I see little children and I think about what's coming on this planet for those kids when they get to be 20, 30, 40 years old. And I feel like I want to start crying, because they don't right now have a future. We know that we're damaging the planet. We know all these things that we're aware of that are affecting our environment, yet we as a human race continue to close our eyes to it. It's only a matter of time. We talk about all these spiritual events happening. We talk about all these political events happening. Now, they're going to come and they're going to go, but what happens to the planet is here forever. And what we've laid down for the future of our children right now on this planet is something that we should all hang our heads for. I'm just as much to blame as anybody else, because it took me years to understand what we're doing to this planet, who who's doing it to this planet and who's making the money and what the end game is. Yeah. And it's not a pretty sight at all. Well, we're still partaking in that.
The things that we as humans fight over, the things that we as humans hold up to be, you know, the best of everything, is it's gotten so far away from the real realms of truth. You know, when I sit back and I look at all the history of mankind, and I think about the Greek gods, I think about the all the different mythologies and the Titans, and I think about the Bible, and I think about naturalism, and I think about all the different denominations of every type of religion out there, and I step back and I look at this entire big picture. Every single thing in there falls into place. Every single piece of the puzzle falls right into place. I see this world in a way that is almost impossible to explain to everybody. But the deception that has been perpetrated on humanity is so intertwined. It's like a vine that has just gone wild. It's growing in every single direction. Everything we think about our reality, everything we think about our history, has been lied to, manipulated, and twisted, and distorted, and everything like that. Everything that was supposedly good is now supposedly bad, and we're told things that we have to be accepting of, and you know, as anybody from any faith, it doesn't matter which faith that we're talking about, as anybody from any faith tries to look out there and it doesn't match what their heart is speaking to them, you know, they're told anyway, you have to be tolerant, you have to be accepting. And I just can't be tolerant to evil. I can't be tolerant to the things that are done to the children in this world. I can't be tolerant of things that are done to the elderly or the patriots, the people that went out and fought in all these different wars. The ridiculousness of this whole entire mess is this. We're standing on the most beautiful creation in our fathomable history, this world that we're living in. It was the way it was put together. It feeds us, it heals us, it takes care of us. And I just can't understand why people would literally, it's almost like that saying, don't bite the hand that feeds you. You know, we can't keep doing what we're doing to each other. We can't keep doing what we're doing to nature. We can't keep on arguing over who's right and who's wrong. I think that all these religions out there, I think that all these things that people believe in, I think that they were all true. I think there were giants on the land. I think there were titans on there. I think there were abominations on here. I think that one day we probably going to see it all again. I think that all these things, life is going to come to a point where you're going to see things that are unbelievable. I honestly believe that we're gonna witness that within our lifetime. Now, maybe that's because I'm on information overload. But if you sit back and you want to be intellectually honest with yourself and others, none of us know the truth about anything. We only know what has been passed down from our elders, our older generations, to generation to generation, is as close as we can possibly get to the truth of anything. But one thing that there's not one of us that can deny, not one of us can argue with, in a situation like we're seeing unfold worldwide out here, we have to come together. We have absolutely no other alternative but to come together. Now, you got the people out there who's trying to monopolize on everything under the sun, including the sun. You got people out there who are going to do dirty deeds, and they're going to try to amass all this wealth, even though the day that they lay down in that grave, their pockets will be just as empty as they were the day that they were born. And I feel bad for those people. I feel bad for the folks out there that just don't get it. I've been hoping and I've been praying that everybody would somehow wake up. I wish that there was a way that I could plug my brain into these computers and you could see what I'm seeing in my mind. I know...
Go ahead.
I know things looking rough, but I'm not ready to lay down the evil no matter how bad things get. I'm not ready. I couldn't stand there and watch my wife cry yesterday because she felt like she was never going to get to see her mom again. And the same thought went through my mind as I could possibly not get to see my mom again because everybody's going on lockdown and you can't do no traveling and they're telling you to stay home. It's a mess. But I still...
Well, okay, you know, these things we have to remember. If you stuck with that, okay, because they're telling us that, we have to be responsible, number one. But I would say don't take it to that fullest max of the worst case scenario that you're never going to see your mom again. I mean, if we believe in ourselves as spirit, number one, if we believe that we are made in the image of Creator God, if we believe that there is the spirit within us, the soul spirit, and as within everyone, we know that this timeline we are living here is only like a blip in the greater timeline. You know, I'm just saying, when you start falling into that hole where you start saying, I'm never going to see my loved one again, I'm never, be very, very careful of that. Okay, I'm just saying, I get the feeling.
I agree. I just, it was a fleeting moment for me, and then I had to catch my breath and get strong as I possibly could and hold my wife and try to explain to her. I said, you know, we gotta believe in the things that we believe in, and we gotta stay true to our faith. Otherwise, we're gonna fall apart. Because if we can't handle times like this, how are we going to be able to handle times when they get really bad?
Well, that's what I feel. I feel that, again, I have to say, I know this is one of those major tests. We don't know if it is the final, the final big one. We will never know that until that comes. But I think this is the most powerful opportunity given to us. It's sort of like, how strong is your faith? Walk your talk, we say. You know, if you're talking a good talk, well then walk that talk. Live your life. Exactly, you know, so I say this is our ceremony today. Every day we are in ceremony now. Either you're going to be in ceremony, we have a saying in our tradition, it is either every step is a prayer. That's the way. Every step is a prayer. Either you're praying or you're not. And I have to say, it's not about walking around with a rosary. It's not about walking around speaking out prayers. It is about your energy, your frequency, and connection and relationship to the great spirit creator and to the sacred creation. It's that connectedness, that awareness, that knowing within your own heart you are one with creator, one with God. You see, that's the step. Every step is a prayer. Either you're praying or you're not. Now, if you're not, what you're doing is you're preoccupied, okay, and you're being, pummeled around with all this fear porn, and you're in the fear state, so you've lost your trust and faith. You've lost your connectedness to the source of all life, of all creation. You've lost the connection to your own spirit within you. If you're not in that frequency, that energy of knowing that you are sacred, knowing that spirit is within you, and knowing that you are one with God.
Amen. Duke Willis is with us. Good morning, Duke. What do you think of all the mess in the world today?
Good morning, campers.
Hey there.
How's
Welcome
the world
aboard.
Finding
Welcome
everyone?
Welcome aboard the spaceship.
Yeah, we're all heading to the moon today, buddy. And if you get in line quick, we'll get you on board here. But
it's not a spaceship. It's the great space coaster where no gnus is good gnus.
I can say is fasten your seatbelts. This is going to be a great time.
It is going to be a crazy time coming up, Barbara. And one thing I will say before. Oh, go ahead.
Not crazy, I said great, but it's okay. Go ahead.
It's crazy, but it's great. The reason it's great is giving us an opportunity to really to reach people that have been sitting on the fence, kind of looking at what's going on in our world for the last 3 or 4 years, knowing something's very, very wrong, but now all of a sudden it's in their face, it's going to impact their lives, and it's really serving as an opportunity to get people fully involved in stopping the madness and looking inside their hearts. And I see that everywhere I go right now. Go ahead, Duke. Welcome to the show.
Before you say something, Duke, please, okay. I just have one more thing I want to say. To me, this is not about what religion you follow. I'm sorry. This is not about if you're, a Muslim, follow the Quran, the Torah, the book, the good book. This is not about that. This is about us, all humans, are gathering to pray. In Bangladesh, you have Muslims gathering, thousands of Muslims gathering to pray for healing. You have, like you put up in Brazil, okay, the evangelicals. This is not about a religion. I'm sorry I have to say that. We are all one people, and all the one peoples, numerous types of peoples who follow whatever religion, they're all praying the same prayer to their Creator God, which is the same one. It's not about religion. Let's not separate it as that. I don't feel that's right. We're all people. We're all human, sacred children of the Creator. That's what I feel. Okay, go ahead.
My turn?
Your turn, Duke. You got the talking stick, but we're going to pass this off with the crowd here.
That could be dangerous.
Okay, you got 15 seconds.
I've got 15 seconds. It takes me that long to say,
The stick is passed already.
Okay. Go ahead, Duke.
There's a couple of things I want to comment just on this, on things I've been listening to in my headphones in the last 10 minutes or so, just sitting here since I joined the room quietly. Two things that not only are discussed here in this room, but I hear them everywhere, on my own shows, from my own audience, from my family, my friends, from total strangers on the street. What everyone is seeming to be referring to, watching for, expecting, is some sort of big cataclysmic Nagasaki, Hiroshima, Pearl Harbor type event. I want to remind each and every one of you well-educated but not thinking people out there in interweb land, you didn't get your university degree by writing one exam. You wrote series and series of exams, big ones and little ones, over the course of several years. There isn't going to be a big trigger event that you're all sitting and watching for, and that as you watch for this big trigger event, you're ignoring all the little ground-level explosions that are going off around you, like our stock market collapsing, like our society, Canada and the United States, willingly doing what Stalin and Lenin killed millions in order to achieve, what Mao Zedong had to kill 20 million Chinese in order to achieve. North American free people are willingly imposing themselves into a self-created prison. Ladies and gentlemen that can hear my voice, it's not about religion. You're right. It's about organized religion. Because what this is really all about is good versus evil. This isn't a war for your mind. This is a war for your soul. And it's been going on ever since the serpent gave Eve the fruit of knowledge. I hand the talking stick over.
Shazitz. It's your show.
I got a lot of worries in my heart, but it's not for the same reason that I'm trying. I'm just not trying to sound like I'm panicked or anything like that. I got a lot of worries in my heart, but it's only because of all the things that I've learned throughout my entire life, things that I've witnessed throughout my entire life, things that I've, you know, believed in spiritually. It's not for myself that I'm concerned. It's for those out there that just didn't, they just, for some reason, just didn't get the message. You know, they didn't understand what this world, the most important thing in this world is, and that's family. That's the way that we take care of one another. That's the way we love one another. And everyone out there who says that we're all family, those are people, those are my heroes, because they get it. They get it. All these different, what they like to call religions, and all the different ways that they like to separate themselves between denominations and so on down the line, that breaks my heart, because they basically separate each other from what we really are. If people could just understand what we truly really are, we're amazing. We really are. You're amazing. Each and every one of you is amazing. You know, Jesus said something to his disciples. He said that all these things that I do, you can do as well if you believe. And in Genesis, it talked about how we were created in our Creator's image. All of us, every single one of you. It don't matter whether you believe in God or don't believe in God. If you still believe that we're all created equal, that we're all, you know, there's something special about each and every one of you. You've got talents. You've got gifts that you've been given. That together combined, we can do amazing things. We spent a lot of time wasting time. We spent a lot of time doing things that we shouldn't have been doing, when we should have been fixing things that were already falling apart. You know, I keep saying I still believe in the dream. I do. I with everything that is me, I do believe in the dream. And I do believe how important it is for us to do every single possible thing and say every single possible thing we can to lay down some paving stones for our children and our children's children's future. The way that we build this world, what we do today is going to define the world that they live in, and the paving stones, the seeds that we plant, the positive pebbles that we throw out is going to determine how rough that road is for them. We're going to see in our lifetime, we're going to see some rough roads. But I still believe that as long as you're on the battlefield with me, I'll pick you up when you fall down. I'll pick every one of you up if I can. We just gotta remember that family. We gotta hold on. We gotta hold on to our truth. We gotta hold on to our faith. I don't cry because I'm some sort of sissy boy or whatever. I cry because my heart feels everything that's going on. There's people dying in countries. There's people talking craziness or blaming or pointing fingers. It's China's fault. It's this person's fault. That baby ain't starving in this world because God said it had to be. That baby's starving in this world because mankind dropped the ball. We've been dropping the ball for a long time. When I see people come together under any cause, that gives me hope, and that tells me that my dream that I keep talking about, the dream, it's still possible. It's still possible. We're not done yet. And I don't think we're going to be done anytime soon. But I think the day that we open up our hearts and minds to each other's truths, doesn't matter whether you're a Muslim or a Christian, we're all in the same boat. We can't keep poking holes in it. We can't keep letting these people that do what they've been doing to us. They keep us constantly in fear. They keep us constantly on information overload. We can't allow that anymore. We have to. That's why I've been playing this peaceful music in the background. I don't know how many of y'all realize, but there's some really peaceful music. It's water and waterfall going on, because we need this time to heal. We need to shut those damn TVs off. We need to ignore the mainstream media. We need to stop paying attention to the doggone government, and we need to start paying attention to our neighbors and one another. Because that's the only way that we're ever going to be able to realize that dream. Jesus said that no man knows the time or day, that he'd come like a thief in the night. Just like this thing snuck up on the world, our last day will sneak up on us. It's what we do in between that time while we're waiting. This is going to make all the difference in the world. It's what we do from this point on that's going to make it or break it. I, for one, want to try to uplift the spirits. I, for one, want to reach down and touch your heart and give you that light. Because I believe. I honestly believe. And to me, in my world, it's true. God is true to me. And what you believe in your mind is going to be truth to you. We can deal with that. We can deal with the differences of our truths. But we can't deal with the differences of what we're doing to one another. You gotta reach deep down inside. You gotta turn that light up and turn it up bright. You gotta give the best of you to this world to overcome that darkness. That's all I gotta say.
I'm feeling your passion, always your love and your passion for humanity, Chaz, and thank you. I'm so happy to know you, really, to know you and have you in my life as well as the others here, that we all share this information. It's not easy to share this information. You know, we've been doing this for how many years? We've been talking on the radio and sharing, and as we all know, we've been talking about this coming. We've been talking about this coming for a very long time. We've talked about some really horrific things, and you know, I totally agree with you, and we've all said this. We've all said these are some of the things, these are some of the solutions we need to be doing now. What was that, 10 years ago we started? Maybe even longer. We've been talking about that, and yet, and people are just la-la-ing around, you know, and Now everybody's in a panic because they were not really listening, or because they were not paying attention, or they just, are too deeply indoctrinated into the system where there's no critical thinking, and they just continue on their way, doing what they have been doing, the status quo, ignoring any signs or signals or, you know, just that type of thing. Okay, I'm not blaming those people. I don't blame anybody, because I say we're all in this together. It doesn't matter your color, does not matter your religion, does not matter anything. We are here now together. Well, what a wake-up call that is. We've always talked about we are one people upon this earth, all sacred children of this earth. We all share this Mother Earth. We are all one people. But the system has separated us deliberately and pitted us against each other deliberately. Well, now, during this issue that we are all experiencing, that we are all realizing is real, that we are all in it together, guess what? We are together. We are not separated by color. We are not separated by religion. We are not separated by political preference. We are not. This message, above all, that we are all here together. We are all the children of the earth dealing with this issue at this present time. And so don't listen to the divisive tactics of politics. Don't, you know, it really makes me furious that people are using this crisis for their political gain. That is, to me, the most abhorring thing that I see going on. Yes, using this crisis that we are all dealing with for political gain. That should tell you something about those people. I'm just saying, that's all. Go ahead. I passed the talking stick.
Oh, sorry, I was muted. That's bad, man. I was talking there for a minute and I realized I was muted. That's twice I've done that. I'd like to mute.
Don't feel bad. I did the same thing, which just is stop talking.
The background noise and people are always complaining about me fidgeting and stuff like that. But go ahead, dude. If you got something to say, I'll pass the stick over to you for a minute.
No, that's okay. I did the same thing. I did the same thing. I had my mic muted, and so did Barb, I noticed in the comments. We all did the same thing.
I didn't have my mic muted.
Okay,
I was
no.
just listening. I was just like, you know what? The silence is okay for a little bit, but I didn't want to leave Shaz hanging too long, you know, because it's like, then you go like, hey, nobody's here, right? You know, you just kind of get that feeling.
Well, we are here. We're all here. We're all in deep thought today.
Here's
Patty Walker?
Here's a little something to lighten the mood a bit. I just saw a post. I've got my other computer open here, and I'm surfing through my Facebook. I just saw a post of a picture of a three-lane highway with construction workers on the road. Written over top, it says, well, everything is shut down. Pave the bloody roads.
Good idea.
Yeah, really.
That's a great idea. You're right.
I was looking at pictures of downtown Toronto yesterday. It's just like a ghost town. I've never, ever seen the main streets of Toronto look like that. It's, man, unbelievable how people are reacting, how people are gobbling this up. Social distancing. $1,000 fine now in Ontario, dude, if I come within 6 feet of you.
Yeah.
What? You said what? Are we talking absolute insanity?
Hey, dude. Like I said, Stalin and Lenin had to send people to the gulags in Siberia. Mao Zedong made 20 million people disappear. But here in North America, political correctness and liberal socialism have convinced people to do it themselves. The government has completely taken over our freedom and haven't had to fire a single shot.
Well, they've taken over the brains of people is what they've done to.
Yeah.
They've programmed society.
But that's our freedom.
You can't see the trees for the forest.
Look, that's what our freedom is. You know what our real freedom is? It's the knowledge that was given to us by the serpent with the fruit of knowledge. That knowledge is the knowledge that evil exists. And what is our freedom? Our freedom is to exercise that knowledge. Our freedom is that we have the freedom to choose between good and evil. And that is the root of all of our freedoms. Whether you're a libertarian, a Muslim, or a Christian, all you want is your freedom to do your thing, to make your own choices. And that's what the fruit of knowledge is all about. This battle that we're in now has been going on since Adam and Eve lost their innocence and were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. How we see it is a changing thing through all of time. The Romans controlled everyone by bringing them back to their place of birth, which is why Joseph and Mary were traveling for reporting to the census. The same thing's going on now. Stay in your place of birth, in your cage. That's what they're doing. They're not letting us travel. It's all the same tactics. Generations after generations after generations. And if we look at where this and we are all coming from, then we can see where we need to go.
Well, I want to take the talking stick. Here's some very interesting and perhaps good news. Okay, what's going on in Italy? We see what's going on in Italy, right? It's fascinating to me, this sort of like, I'm going to use the term targeted populations. But I have to say there's other things going on too, because of the China Silk Road and pulling in Italy's parliament and basically the political system into there, into China Silk Road. And it seems there's a wave of Chinese and also 5G that was just set up in Italy just before the coronavirus happened. But here's something for you. Italian police, a military unit, stormed Vatican City and arrest pedophile cardinals. Yes, and here's another thing. The Italian parliament voted overwhelmingly to merge Vatican City into the city of Rome, effectively ending Catholicism's reign over the city-state. The operation was codenamed Spotlight after the 2015 movie about the clergy sex abuse scandal in Boston, Massachusetts. As a cover-up, the Italian police sent busloads of orphans into Vatican City for the annual Cardinal Convention. The Italian police had to smuggle the cardinals out on the bus to face criminal charges in Italian courts. So, this is what's going on. There's pedophiles being arrested in other places in the world, too. Maybe something else is going on.
The iceberg right now, Barbara.
Maybe something else. Maybe something else is, yes, it is the tip of the iceberg. Because a lot of Hollywood people are suddenly being isolated and saying, well, they've got coronavirus, suddenly.
Yeah, it's a good smokescreen, isn't it?
Chris? Oh, but you know, exactly.
For isolation, right. Self-quarantine.
Yeah.
Chris, you know, and, I mean, we're talking about Tom Hanks and a few other people's names keep coming up.
Ellen DeGeneres. Yeah, Ellen DeGeneres, Tom Hanks.
And I looked into the information. I looked into Tom Hanks really hard last night. Three links came to me in the last couple of days on it. I went and looked at the sources and the documents they're talking about. And the documents are legit, that his name is spoken about in legal jargon in documents. And unless they're being photoshopped, unless there's a fraud being played on the documents I saw look to be legitimate court documents. So,
well, as far as his pedophilia, as far as his involvement in the pedophilia crimes, and
You know, and we hear about all kinds of other stuff that's going on behind the scenes right now. You know, there's a lot of, I believe there's some real bad misinformation going on, but I believe there's some truth to what's going on, but not to the extremes that some people are putting it out as. I'm looking at a lot of different things right now. It's very, very, a lot of it's confusing, but definitely something going on in Denmark. Let's put it that way. Go ahead.
Well, Chris says, why did it take a virus to bring people together? A virus that is less worse than the flu. Don't get me wrong, it's great that people are coming together. But why the virus? Well, that's a very interesting question. I think it's because it's the way it's being portrayed as well. What do you guys think?
I think a sudden shakeup in society. I'll let you talk, Pete, but my thought on that is a sudden shakeup in society. People are sitting back right now and going, what is going on? They've never seen anything like this in their lifetime, and it's directly starting to impact their lives and the implications of the government impacting the War Measures Act and the Emergencies Act in Canada. We're talking about complete loss of all civil liberties, suspended. And what could possibly happen then that would be not good for society? Same thing in the United States of America, where they're talking about complete martial law for the whole country. Suspension of all civil rights. It's just the time they're going to bring the hammer down. Go ahead, Duke.
I think Chris's comment alludes to a misconception that a lot of people are suffering from. And many people sitting here today with me on this show, Shaziz, Barry, Barb, the rest of you, you've, like me, you've been out there spreading the word for, in my case, over 3 years doing live shows on Facebook and YouTube. We know that people are awake. We know that people have been coming together for quite some time now. What you're seeing are all the naysayer friends of the people who have been coming together suddenly waking up and going, oh shit, Bob was right.
Exactly.
Sorry for the language, but that's what people on the street are literally saying. Oh, bleep, they've been right all along. Their tinfoil hats weren't tinfoil hats.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing, this is another possibility. The fear porn, okay, about, like, the toilet paper issue started by some suggestion by some journalist or somebody speaking on that in that arena said, is, you know, possibly there could be, a run on toilet paper or a lack of toilet paper. And it was not really, it was not factual. It was just a plant. So people took that and they ran with it like crazy. What type of people took that? Okay, not the awake people. I didn't run out and get, like, screaming and getting toilet paper and punching people over toilet paper. I don't think the awake people did that. So you have certain things planted in the minds of a particular area of society. It's a mind factor. It's controlling people's behavior. But on the other hand, so this is this virus, the way it's been presented, on my sense, is a level of fear porn. I'm not saying that the virus is not real. I feel that it's a bioweapon, actually, and I'm not the only one. I said that right off the bat. Now, regardless of who planted this or where it came from, is irrelevant at this point, because we do see, you know, people being affected and deaths and so on and concerns. But perhaps, I mean, just supposedly, that the fear, fear mongers had a plan, okay, to just break down complete society and have us all screaming and killing each other. Not just punching each other over toilet paper, but actually killing each other. Is that going to happen? I don't know. But so you say, so maybe their plan has backfired with the awakening part, you know? Maybe the plan, their plan to have everybody in the streets killing each other over toilet paper or whatever, is that going to happen? It might, because people are buying guns now. What is the next level, the next bomb they're going to drop on us where people will actually be out there killing each other? Now, what's the next thing they're going to say is going to be lacking and we all need to get it, you know? Toothpaste? So that we're in the stores killing each other for toothpaste and now we're carrying guns to get that? I don't know, just there were two deaths I just read in Walmart somewhere. Two people shot each other. One person shot another two people. What were they fighting over? I didn't look at the article, but it's possible. Could have been toothpaste. It could have been toilet paper in Walmart. Okay, so I'm just looking at this. This is to rev people up, maybe, to get them out in the streets to shoot each other, to kill each other, to fight over toilet paper revolution now, so that they can call in the guards, call in martial law. That's maybe one piece. They do want, I think, the complete control and shutdown and martial law. And we see Agenda 2030 lurking in the background. We see the One World Order plan possibly unfolding. Okay, there's a lot of possibilities here. There's other things like the 20,000 U.S. military that was sent into Europe to for the basic United Nations, what they call them. It's not real. They're playing these war games. I can't remember that name. You guys must know what it is.
Well, I don't know, but I want to go back to Chris's question real quick, and then I'll move on. But I had pretty much the same question that I'd always ask my family every time I'd go to a funeral. Why does it always take a tragedy to bring us all together? Nobody really had an answer to that. And the same thing applies with all the natural or man-made disasters. You see, it takes a tragedy to bring people together. I guess if there's a light at the end of this tunnel right here, it would be that people actually have to stop and spend some time with their families, and they have to reflect on society and the way things are going. I do see a great awakening out there. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, he said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And that's kind of like what I want to do with my life. You know, if I'm the one that's going to be professing that I do believe in God and a higher power, and that I'm thankful for all these blessings that I've been given, I want to shine my light the best that I can, so that not to bash anybody over the head and try to make them, you know, you believe in this book and you believe what I tell you or you're going to die or go to hell or that kind of stuff. No, because I believe that the power of my actions and the power of my words, if they are righteous, if they are true, people will adopt those because they like them, because they believe in that. You know, it's like the golden rule or the Ten Commandments or natural law, do no harm. We can all agree on that. There's some folks out there that just can't agree on that. But the best way to be a teacher, the best way to get people to come together is to live that life. To walk that walk, like they say, you know, not just talk about it. I'm not trying to preach to the world. I guess maybe I sound like it, but you know, hey, times like this, maybe a little bit of preaching is what everybody needs. Maybe everybody needs to go sit down in a pew and talk to each other. You just got to open your eyes. You got to open your hearts and you got to open your minds. I don't think it's over. I still believe in the dream. I still believe in hope. I'm going to let my light shine before men. And that's why I'm going to let my light shine and I'm going to let them see my life. And hopefully my life is good enough to glorify my God, the Creator that I believe that I was brought into this world. I want to see God smile one day. That's all I want. I want the rest of the people out there to at least have a chance to enjoy life. And this time that we're going through right now, as troubling and as trying as it is, I think the ultimate blessing is now people can sit down and have dinner together. And they can talk about things and actively seek hope and truth. That's all I got for the minute.
Well, we're in uncharted territory right now. But like we've said many times in this show, and if we went back and listened to some of our shows here from the last couple of years, I don't think we laid down a real specific timeline, but we all agreed that in the very near future, and I'm talking about shows we did last year, we were going to see catastrophic changes come in our society. And like I said earlier in the show, I don't know if this is really the turning point where they're really going to wrap up the all-out attack on the human race and completely control the human race, get it to that point. I don't know if that's this time, but a lot of things that I see right now and what I understand about prophecy and how it's all playing out seem to indicate to me that this is a very, very different time in our history that, like you said, we've never seen before. We're in territory we've never been before. How is this going to affect the common person is a question I ask myself all the time. The normal people that are still in the matrix that still think that when things go south, the government's going to come along on their white horse and save us all. Those people are the ones that are really, really going to stem the tide as to where this goes and how they're going to be affected by the chaos and what they're willing to do when they're exposed to that kind of chaos.
Yeah, on that note, Barry, I'd like to say one other thing right here because, you know, we actually have had shows where we talked about a lot of hard subjects and they, you know, were almost to the point where they sounded like we were out there fear mongering. But I want to reference something that happened in the book that, when the disciples were asking about the last days and the things that must come to pass, Jesus in John 16:33 said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And if you just listen to those words, man, just listen to those words, what he said. We've already won the fight over evil. We've already won the fight over evil. It's the trying times that we're going through there that's literally going to test our faith to the extent where we're going to decide on which side of that fence we want to stand on. We were given everything we need to win this war over darkness. It's something as simple as that light we keep talking about. You know, when we say that deal about how if you go into the darkest cave out there and you light a candle, that darkness gets pushed back. And I feel like every single one of the people on this panel right now, Barry and Duke and Barbara, and I wish Patty was here, those lights combined together, that pushes that darkness back yet even further. And with the great awakening that I feel like is actually occurring, where these people are coming together from all faiths and all backgrounds and having prayer and ceremonies, I feel like they're lighting their candles. And I feel like there literally is light at the end of the tunnel. I feel like there literally is hope that this is not all lost. I just... Man, this is a painful, painful show to do today. Because there's a lot of people out there just going insane. I hope that these words make it over that wall. I hope that more people get to hear the things that you, ladies and gentlemen, have said today. I hope that they get to hear the comments that were read out. Because we need as much light and healing as we can possibly muster so that we can make it down these bumpy roads that we're on. Somebody want the talking stick?
Well, I think that good things are happening, and I think we need to focus on that. And regardless of the other side, there are good things too, and that's, you know, this is where I'm focused. I am focused on the people that are coming together. I am focused on the people that are dancing and singing and praying together. I'm focused on the gratitude of the elders, you know, coming out to speaking and talking and sharing information on herbal medicines and ancient medicines that are very significant and important. And they do make a difference and they do help. I'm focused on, you know, my own prayers and my own ceremony. You know, saying that this life is a ceremony. I am in ceremony every day. And I'm also focused on the things that behind the scenes that not everyone knows about. And I want to just continue my thread about the 20,000 American, you know, military going over there to Europe, because they are actually arresting the pedophiles and those that have been, you know, working in evil ways. And this is something that is happening now. This is something that is happening behind the scenes. All the mess and all the fear and all the hype and all that stuff, there are good things that are happening. There are powerful things that are happening, you know, and just open your eyes to see them and welcome them into your heart.
So
I feel again, I just want to say again that I feel this is the opportunity for humanity. And many will, like we've talked about before, many will awaken, we've said, and many will not awaken, okay?
So
we are the ones... We are the ones that speak to solutions, to give wisdom and guidance and information out to the public. Sometimes we've gotten frustrated to the point where we said, I'm done, I'm quitting, what am I doing, nobody's changing, nobody's awakening. Well, we can't afford to do that. We cannot afford to drop into the place of hopelessness and fear. I will not allow myself to do that. If you have a connectedness to Creator, Jesus, Yeshua, as you're saying, or God, Wankan Tanka, Takasha, whoever you are, if you believe in this light, in this love, in the power of your prayer and your being here and connectedness to Source, if you believe in the power of prayer, don't drop into fear. Do not drop into hopelessness or helplessness and so on. Keep your prayers strong. Don't give the word, don't even feed the word of negativity or feed the fear word. Don't even give it any food. I'm just saying.
This is the
most powerful opportunity for us here, just us here and everyone listening and for the whole world. It is Creator's giving us an opportunity. That's all I feel.
So what I'm hearing from what you just said, Barbara, about the pretty much the elite and those that basically brought themselves up to be, you know, the leaders or whatever, you know. Jesus in Matthew 23:12 said, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." I'm seeing that change. I'm seeing that change unfold in this world. I'm seeing those folks up there. This virus, it's not discriminating between, you know, positions of power or anything like that. So
that's right.
That's another good light.
So that prophecy that you just spoke, the prophecy you just spoke is unfolding behind the scenes.
Yeah.
That's how I look.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to say that. It's they're being humbled.
And so let us not ourselves follow that pathway of fear. Let us not ourselves step away from God, Creator, and the beauty and the power of that, our connectedness. Let us not do that. Let us not go on that other road and go into that state of believing that this is the worst thing for people and people are lost. Let us give it over to Creator. Let us give all this over to Creator, because that's who is in charge anyway.
Yeah.
Let us not fall into that other energy is what I'm saying.
Jesus in Matthew 6:34 said, "Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." And so we can hit head on what we face today. You know, we can't spend our lives worrying about, you know, doomsday or all that kind of stuff. That's why I always keep on telling everybody. I said we have to remain strong for ourselves so that we can be strong for others. I honestly believe
all
that.
All those words that Jesus spoke, okay? I have my own relationship. I don't speak the way you do about Jesus. I have my own relationship with that sacred holy being.
I understand.
I have my own personal... Okay,
I
don't speak the way... I don't follow the Bible. I follow Creator's law of one, okay, in my tradition. But let us remember these sacred words of this holy being that came here, Jesus or Yeshua. Let us remember those words. They are powerful, and he is not the only one who brought those words. I have to keep reminding everyone. Viracocha came prior to the Jesus coming. The peacekeeper on Turtle Island brought the same teaching, the same words, prior to Jesus appearing. You see, the white buffalo calf woman brought the same teachings, the same words, prior to Jesus' arrival. We have had these messages from God coming through time after time, through centuries and millennia, in, you know, forever. It's the same. Let us not ignore these sacred words, okay? Let us live by them, like the one about the mustard seed can move mountains. You know, I can't say the exact words, but I hear you when you speak them, and I truly believe in them. Yeshua, I have my own relationship, and I've had extraordinary miracles. Yeshua, that sacred one, saved my life in many circumstances, as did Wangkatanka, Creator, and the other beings who are holy that watch over us, our ancestors and so on.
Do you know how we're always telling people we're trying to empower them to believe in themselves? Jesus said in John 20:21, it says, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you," basically out to the world to do what it is we've been doing all along. And you know, I understand.
Right. What is the words that Jesus said? You too can do these things.
He said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to the mountain and you could tell that mountain to move, and that mountain would surely move.
Well, he's speaking of miracles, you see.
Yeah.
And it's the faith.
And he told his disciples, "All these things that I do, you can do as well, and you will do greater things if you believe." And that's the whole key. You know, when you talk about the faith of a mustard seed, you know,
yeah,
if you have any doubts in your mind, I keep going back to a Henry Ford quote, because Henry Ford said, "If you think you can or you think you can't, you are right." You see what's
but
so important
man,
about that?
But that man, Henry Ford, took these sacred words and used them in a negative way.
But those words are true, because if you don't believe in anything, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Even evil people can use those words, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get it.
But my point here I want to make is about faith. You have to sit and think about what does that mean, faith. Having faith, that is a powerful, powerful key to everything here that we are speaking about today, to have faith. If you don't have faith, I found out, if you don't have faith, if you doubt, you doubt yourself, you're doubting your creator too. If you doubt, if you have that doubt, who are you doubting? You're doubting Great Spirit Creator. You're doubting that. So the faith is the key piece. Faith is a powerful connectedness to Creator God.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If you doubt that faith, then you won't give that faith power. It's like those words you keep talking about, Barbie. You keep saying, don't speak life into the evil. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what I take away from the...
That's right.
You know,
So we find ourselves, okay, we find ourselves stepping away from the power of our faith, dropping into this fear place about what's going to be happening to people, about how people aren't awake, about how people are suffering, about how people... Okay, so... I just say, you know, we have to hold that. If you have that faith inside of you, don't drop into that other energy. Okay, I'm not saying... So here's how I do it. I pray for everyone. I pray for everyone. I have faith in the power of my prayer. It is in God's hands whether those people will awaken. It is in God's hands whether someone will get this COVID-19 and not make it. It is in God's hands. They are all on their spiritual journey. I can't force people to wake up. I can only pray to Creator for the good for all. And it is in God's hands. That determination is in God's hands. So I am not in despair. I am not weeping for people who aren't awoken yet. I am not weeping for those who might become ill. Look at the flu. Do we pray for people? Do we have world prayer for people who have the flu? Like people are saying, the flu has killed more people than this COVID. Do we all go freaking out and buying toilet paper I'm just saying, look at where we are today. Let's not fall into the fear. Let's not fall into the worry. Worry is fear. Let's not fall into that. That's all.
Absolutely, I agree completely. How this is being ramped up and played on the public is—it's unbelievable. It really is. Society is accepting these changes in a very, very short period of time on something that. Let me just finish my thought, dude. I've looked at the numbers on the common flu this year, and I've looked at the numbers on this coronavirus, we don't hear nothing about the 22,000 people that have died in the United States since the start of this year from the common flu. Has a higher killer rate than this thing, and yet all we hear on the news is that this is the end of the world, that we have to self-quarantine, that we have to shut down all facets of society to protect people. Next thing, like I said, there'll be martial law. Mark my words, I believe that's coming. And when that comes, we'll really see some chaos in society. Go ahead, Duke.
I just have one question for everyone out there. Why hasn't Burger King, McDonald's, and Wendy's drive-thrus been shut down years ago? Every year in North America, Canada, and the United States, 300,000 people die from obesity. But nobody has been screaming to shut down fast food joints and pizza delivery places. So what's the big deal? A couple of hundred people have died. So what? 300,000 die from Big Macs every year. Nobody's shutting down the Golden Arches. I'll go back to being quiet now.
Well, it's only... Okay, you're talking... I don't know which area you're speaking about, but there are... Like
all
Italy,
of North America, 300,000.
Well, yeah, okay. I thought you said 300. Yeah.
No, 300,000 between the United States and Canada.
Right.
Every year, obesity is the cause of 300,000 deaths.
Now, I'm talking about the COVID. I thought you said only 300 people died. So worldwide, okay, there's over 3,000 people who have died. But in the United States, there's only, I don't know, I haven't looked recently.
122 as of yesterday.
in New York City?
A total. If that's what I saw yesterday for figures, is 122 people have died so far.
In New York.
And on 122 people, they've locked down the entire state of New York. I'm done.
I think it's a little more than that, but it's minimal, really. I know I'm not making it minor that somebody's died. I'm just saying something is going on here, folks. And you know what I was thinking? This fear porn push. Maybe this fear porn push, this helpless, hopeless, is a distraction, and also to keep people away from Creator. You know, is to give up. Okay, we're doomed. Give up. Where's your faith? Well, it's just not working. My faith isn't working because, look, we're doomed. Why should I pray? Why should I, you know, that's what I'm saying. This may be very well that tactic is, too, I'm just saying. But it's working the other way, too. More people are praying. So, again, there's the battle of the dark and the light. There's the battle of the positive and the negative, right?
Well, the Bible talks about this time as a great battle that's going to ensue on the planet Earth and panel, and I see it now. We've been seeing it for years. We've been seeing the buildup. We've been seeing the changes in our society. We've seen the changes in our freedoms and the clampdown on our freedoms, what they've conditioned society to kind of accept in the last 15, 20 years as the new norm. Today, you know, we look at the world, and what do we see? We see complete chaos, and it is ramping up. Where it's going, I'm not exactly sure. I have some pretty good ideas where it's going. We all have pretty good ideas where it's going. Are we there? I believe we're close. I believe that the window of opportunity to stop this madness is gonna close on us in the very near future. And I say that because of just what the effect this virus has had on society. We could take this virus away and unleash something else on society that would have the same effect. They're always wanting to see how we're going to respond to chaos, and they're getting the response they want from the general population, as the general population is in fear. Fear is their biggest weapon. It always has been, always will be.
Don't you think?
Knowledge alleviates fear, Barbara. It does. If you really make yourself aware of what's going on, how they're trying to use fear against you, it'll alleviate that fear because you'll understand what is going on
that's
causing these changes, catastrophic changes, in a very short period of time.
Don't you feel that it is fear, fear, that removes us from God? I'm just saying.
No, I'm not in fear.
Yeah.
I'm prepared.
Not, but I'm saying. I'm saying.
Yeah.
The push for people to be in fear removes them from their faith and their connectedness to God.
I agree.
Well, yeah, it puts your brain into a state of chaos. You know, I read a study here a couple of years ago about the effects of chaos on the human brain. I forget who wrote the study. It was a professor down, I believe it was University of Southern California, wrote a study on the effects of chaos on the human brain and how it releases endorphins into the brain and absolutely puts a person into a state where they're not thinking properly, that the brain literally becomes scrambled. Well, we look at society now and what's been getting put into our bodies in the last 30, 40 years with all the chemicals that we're being exposed to, the fluids that are going into our body, the stuff that's spraying our atmosphere. We know very little about nanotechnology, yet nanotechnology could be used right now to actually put radio transmitters inside your body without you knowing it. So we're talking science fiction stuff here that most of us don't even understand how that's going to be unleashed on the human race. That's a big question, but to say that they haven't got little toys put away for this particular time to bring society under control, I think you have to have your head in the sand. These people have think tanks, and they've been doing these think tanks for 40, 50 years, 60 years now, where they have planned society that we see right now was planned by these people, like they said, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
I think it's longer than that. I do.
The real changes that I've seen, Barbara, when I grew up, I remember what my childhood was and where society was when I was 10 years old. At 10 years old, that's 55 years ago for me, that society was still, as far as I remember, and I reflect back on this a lot, I remember my childhood and what we did and how I respected my elders and how I couldn't wait to go to my aunt and uncle's for the weekend because it just showed us all so much love, and the family was the binding, saying now we don't have that in society. It's been completely dismantled. We said it many times on our show that if you attack the family unit in society, that society will fall apart. Hitler did it very well in the Second World War when he turned his youth against their parents. 1934, 1935, the programming he brought in actually had children turning their parents in. Well, we see
They've done the same thing here. Look at Antifa.
Well, exactly. I'm just saying we're seeing the exact same thing replicated in society today. Take a look at read the Communist Manifesto. That's one book that I have read. I don't understand everything in it, but I read the book. I made myself sit down and read that because I really want to understand how it's being played out exactly as it was in the past. What's going on right now is just a duplication of exactly what went on in the past. History's repeating itself.
I want to address your critical thinking issue because I've spoken about critical thinking has been down the tube. See, I was born in 1942, and that's when, right after the war, is when fluoride was put in the water across the country. Okay, and we know what fluoride does to your ability to think clearly and have. So critical thinking is down the tube. So then you introduce, you elevate pornography, right? And you elevate other things, you know, through Hollywood and various other things and drugs. And gambling, right? And pharmaceuticals. So that's why I said it's been going on longer for me, of course, you know, this type of infiltrating into our abilities, into our health and well-being and our ability to think critically. Morals are down the tubes. We have seen that going on for a long, long time. So then you introduce the other side, all the other stuff that basically hooks people because they don't have critical thinking. They don't have critical thinking at all. So the morals are down the tubes, you know. You have this transgender thing. You have the gender confusion issue. That's all deliberate. It's part of, part of attacking the sacred creation. That's what I see that.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, Barbara. If we start talking about all the attacks on the human soul and the human body that is going on in society today, what they've done in the last, really in the last, I say 40, 50 years, they've really ramped up the programs. None of it makes any sense to the human being. It's just nothing they're doing right now is beneficial. I mean, nothing they've brought forward. I mean, they brought us nuclear energy. Well, look what nuclear energy's doing. Look at if you want to study something about fluoride, guys, and this is something everybody should do. There's a video online. I don't know if they've taken it down, but it's called Chronological History of Fluoride. And it takes you back to the 6 doctors or the dentists that were originally bringing this forward to the public and how they sold it as the new health or the new dental miracle of the 20th century and how it was sold to the public. Those dentists were involved with chemical companies that were paying a lot of money to dispose of sodium fluoride. Study that and you'll understand how fluoride can go to society. But all that being said, our bodies are under attack. I mean, the immune system, the human man, there's a study that everybody should do right now, is look at the immune system of an individual in 1955 to 1960. And take a look at the immune system of an individual in 2020. It's
and the obesity.
Like 30 or 40% of our immune capabilities.
Fast foods, and you're right about the obesity killing more because
that's what toxin stores, you know, in obese people, it stores in the body fat.
They introduced the fast foods, the corrupted foods, chemicalized foods, and you have
everything. It does.
Obesity is killing more people. Yep.
So with all that and all of what's being done to us, I'm trying to sit here and contemplate on what our true strengths are. You know, I understand that not everybody is a fan of Jesus. I get that. But some of the words that were spoken, like the Sermon on the Mount, he said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. And so I'm sitting here thinking about there are so many terrible people in the history of time, and even to this day there are some really dark forces and some dark people that want to twist us away from what you know, our true spiritual journey is our walk in life, you know, from whatever faith that you come from, wants to push us away from that. And our true power, I just gotta keep on coming back to that word love. Our true power is that love. And if we allow ourselves to speak negativity to even those that would do terrible things to us, that we literally give them the food that they need, you know, we're feeding the same beast that's eating us alive. Does that make any sense to anybody but me?
Makes sense to me too. Absolutely, it makes sense to me. This is their game, is to take us away from what is sacred. Number one, ourselves first. To deny our sacredness, okay? To violate our own sacred self, our own temple, our own body, right? And that of our children, and that of the mother, and all. And that's their plan. Well, you know, we know, I think the source of all this is evil. Something very evil is afoot because it hates what is sacred. And basically, it's sort of like an indoctrination into all of us that we basically turn away from our Creator, who loves this creation, who loved this creation unconditionally and with joy, who created this, you know, all of us with joy. And so I truly believe in the frequency, the power of love, and I have said that over and over again. It is a frequency. Goodness and compassion is a frequency. Gratitude is a frequency that aligns us with Creator, God. And so they have worked diligently to push us away from what is most powerful, the sacred self that we are, the children, and all. I pray for people who are doing evil, because I do not want to turn my back on the power of, you know, that Creator has given me. That prayer can change things, that prayer can have an effect on the most dark, on what is dark, on what is evil. That is a power. So I will not hate. I do not hate. I do not fear. I pray for those who have sold their souls to the devil. I basically pray to Creator, to God, that God, Creator, touches those people, awakens them to goodness and to light, and to return them to their sacred self. And that's in God's hands, too. I can't make that happen, but I can participate by praying for that to happen. This, I think, is the power Creator gave us. So it's sort of like, would God, if you believe in God or Creator or Great Spirit, would that be, you know, would that being be happy with you or delightful with you if you are hateful, if you are angry, if you are judging others? I don't think so. Regardless of who is doing what, therefore, but the grace of God go I. I have to say that because we are all subjected to temptation. We are all subjected to that.
Yep.
That's just what I say.
One of the last things that I'll mention about the Sermon on the Mount was that, and everyone that heardeth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Well, it is in our hands, people, I feel.
That's what I was about to say. Good job, Robert. You beat me to it. The world that we build, we can either do this the hard way, or we can do it the easy way. That's the choice we got. We have a choice between good and evil. Every day we get up, I feel like we have been given a clean slate every single day. The sun comes up and you have a choice that day what you're going to do with the rest of your life. You can either choose to repeat the mistakes of the past. You can build your house on the sand if you like. That's your choice. But you also have to understand that when you do that, things happen. And so we have to be wise in our choices. But every single day when that sun comes up, you look up, you look at that as a blessing, because you get to take another breath, another day. You get another chance, another go at all this. So I'm thankful. I feel truly blessed and humbled that I get a chance to wake up every morning and I see that new fresh sunlight, and I know there's a new fresh clean slate for me, and I'm going to try my best to do the best I can every day and to love everyone around me. Nobody gets in my house or out of my house without a hug. Coronavirus or not, I love them all. And I want them to know, if it's the last words that ever come out of my mouth that they ever hear come from me, I want them to know that they were loved. They were truly loved. That's how I feel like I can shine my light the best. That's how I feel like if anything is worthy of my spiritual journey that somebody else chooses to adopt, I don't have to yell at them. I don't have to scare them. I don't have to try to force them into believing anything. I'm just telling them where I've been, and this is what I believe in. This is what I feel. And I think if we all take a little bit of example from that alone, I think we'll be just fine through all these trials and tribulations that we're facing. You know, I'm just so happy for you, Barbara. I'm so happy for you, Duke and Barry. I'm so happy for people. For people, we've been down a road together. We went. You talk about that roller coaster. We've been up. We've been down. We've been mad. We've been sad. We've cried. We've laughed. We've done so many things together as a family. And the comments that come in them chat rooms, you know, the links that are shared with people. This is what the hopes of the Knights of the Round Table was all along, that we could do these things together, that we could do it like a family. I don't remember any times, I don't remember too many times where any of us have gotten so angry that we just started yelling and cursing each other. We put our differences aside and respectfully moved on. That's what this world needs. This world needs that shining light. This world needs that example. And that's how we glorify our Creator. Whoever we believe our Creator is, that's how we glorify that love that I believe is God. Is that we be the best and we shine the light and we talk positive hope into this world. No matter what happens. From this point on, we gotta be on our best game. We gotta have our spiritual armor on. The full armor of God, as it's said. We got to keep it on. We got to keep that light shining. We got to keep our faith true. So with that said, it's been an amazing show again. It's time to go around the table. Who wants to go first?
Ladies are always first.
Well, thank you so much. That's very sweet, and again, I am so honored and delighted to be here with you guys and everyone in the chat who stuck with us here. It's so beautiful to see our connectedness, and yes, we have been on a long, long journey, you know. I mean, I started over 10 years ago on radio, but I've started my spiritual journey from the time I was born. Found my way through dark caverns, fell off cliffs, you know. We've all fallen off cliffs that we've all, our wings have opened up, our wings have spread, and we made it gently down. And that was because Creator was walking with us, because we've never been alone. I truly believe that. I believe that we all came here deliberately. We all made a determination. I believe that Creator asked us all to determine, will we come here at this timeline to participate? And then it was left to us, like we leave our children, they go on their journey. Well, God left us on our journey to see how we would behave, what we would do. He knew, she knew that we would fall down. She knew that we might get distracted. He knew, the Great Spirit, Creator, Mother, Father, knew all what was going to happen. And we came to this moment in time through many trials, fires, cliffs, and dark holes and dark spaces, like to say the dark night of the soul. I've sure been there. But something came, a light shone, something uplifted me, something touched me. I've had miracles in my life, I've seen miracles. I feel so blessed and so grateful that's when I weep, you see. I was down to our lodge where the sacred fire is, and I was loading the Chinampa Wakan, the sacred pipe that I carry, and I was in tears with such gratitude for Creator, for life, and for the blessings that I've had in my life and for the beauty of this creation. And I pray really hard, you know, for all people. So we have been on an awesome journey. I feel, as we have all spoken about, we would come to this moment in time. The book says so, the elders have said so. Yes, we would come to this moment in time, and wow, here we are. It's extraordinary to me. But we are now near to gear up and strengthen our spiritual, like you say, get on your spiritual shields. You don't go into a battle without your shield, your sacred shields, without your spiritual power, because that's what this is all about. And we are in that battle. To me, it's not a battle about a virus. To me, it's a battle against evil. And I believe everyone is in that particular moment now. We are in a worldwide battle against evil that wants to destroy what is sacred. And that's you, that's the children, that's the elders, that's the mother, water, everything. This is a monumental moment in time, and I do feel this extraordinary sense of gratitude for this moment in time, because I know the Creator is with us. I know that God is with us, and I know that it is in our hands, because I know God knew it could be in our hands. God knew that we could do this. That's why we're all here. That's what I say. Pilamaya Doksha.
So would you agree with when Two Dog was always talking about how you'd take one single arrow and it was easy to break, that now would be the time to bundle those arrows together?
Well, this is a prophecy from the peacemaker that I talk about, the peacemaker who came to Turtle Island, who spoke the same words that Yeshua did. He said that one arrow, okay, you can break easily one arrow. When you put a group of arrows together and you cannot break them. You cannot destroy them. That is why we say we are one people, sacred children of this whole world. We say we are the rainbow children, black, red, yellow, white, and now brown. We say that we need to come into unity, and the dark, the evil, has worked hard to separate us, to pit us against each other, to be hateful rather than to be loving and compassionate. This is what is happening, and this is the moment in time when we can choose either to step into that light of gratitude and love and compassion, or stay in the fourth world of chaos where there's hate and violence and greed and prejudice and so on. This is that moment in time.
Yes. So who's next?
Duke. What do you got to say, bud? Before we shut it out. I know you mean.
Well, I've got a lot of things I want to say. I think I can just sum them up rather simply. When you speak of, think of religion, be sure you eliminate the word organized from your thought processing.
And how,
of
brother?
Religion.
And how?
Secondly, when you think about how you're going to deal with what's going on in the world around you, whether it's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin to Wuhan, China, or from your street around the corner to your neighbor's street, whatever scope your world encompasses, how are you going to get through it? How are we going to survive this cataclysmic event that is unfolding before us and around us? The same way Noah and Lot survived cataclysms in their worlds.
Yep.
Noah left the doors of the ark, his ark, closed. Lot turned his back on those who would not listen. At some point in time, to some degree or another, all of our inner strength is going to be measured by how much we can follow the footsteps of Noah and Lot. Have a nice week, folks.
When when Jesus was asked of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered, "The kingdom of God cometh not when observation, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And he said unto his disciples, "These days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not forth them, nor follow them. For as the lightning which lighteth out the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day." Just some words of wisdom.
There are three shizzes. There are three words in all of what you just said that give everyone the answer for all the questions they're asking. Lies within you.
Yep.
Three words that people gloss over. You said them just now so fast as if they don't matter. The truth, ladies and gentlemen, lies within you. The solution, ladies and gentlemen, lies within you. The truth, ladies and gentlemen, lies within you. And the power to overcome that which lays before us lies within you.
That's why we always say that if you want to see the miracle that you've been looking for, go look in the mirror, because you, as an individual,
bingo,
are so amazing. So with that said, Barry, you got any words of wisdom?
Well, this has been a good show. I've always always enjoyed coming in here and listening to Barbara talk and listening to you talk, Shaziz, and other people on the panel. I love listening to people's opinions. We know that we are in, like I said, uncharted territory right now. We have never in our lifetime seen events unfolding the way we are right now. All I'd say to people is please stay outside of the box. Don't get drawn into the box in any shape or form, that you have to stay out of the matrix, because we are going to see chaos in society. I believe that. I'm not a doomsdayer, but according to my timeline and stuff that I'm reading in Revelations and how it's all particularly being portrayed to me right now about what's coming forward for the human race, I have to go by what this book tells me. And it tells me there is going to be chaos. But at the end, he will come back and he will rule the world and he will put the demons in hell where they belong. That day is coming. Until we get there, I have to believe what my book tells me about chaos on the planet. And we see right now the beginning of what I believe is the time of Soros. We see all kinds of prophecies falling in line at an incredible rate. Articulation and prophecies that are just uncanny as to what's being told in the past about what's going to unfold right now, how we identify this particular time in human history. I believe that time is upon us, and I believe the most important thing that you can do in your life is get up in the morning and say a little prayer. Try that, folks, because you just might find an incredible source of peace in your life that you've never experienced before. That's all I ask. Have a great day. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Like I say, I'm always honored and humbled to have the blessing of each and every one of you in this night of the round table with me. I just want to leave everybody with one last thing that Jesus said. He said, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Joshua 1.9. I believe that. I believe that God is with us all, each and every one of us. And so with that said, I'm going to play us out of here with a song that was actually one of my wife and I's wedding songs. It says, "I can see clearly now, the rain is gone," in the song. We're going to make it through this, folks. Please share this podcast. I'm begging, please share this. It's a little chaotic at first, but I was trying to make a point. So, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Take care, everybody.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
gonna be a bright, 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 sunshiny day. It's gonna be a bright, 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 sunshiny day. I think I can make it now.
Together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Old woman! Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines and all the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more than table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram along.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
He, King Shaziz the Terrible. King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.